Welcome back to another episode of Stories from the Internet. This week we have some no sleep episodes. Whether it be a man who's not quite ready to let go of Halloween yet, or a infestation. Either way, I hope you enjoy this episode. Without further ado, on with the show. Before we start this episode, I might want to warn you that this content might not be suitable for all listeners. If you have a weak stomach or have arachnophobia, please be advised this might not be the episode for you. It's November 8th, but my neighbor is refusing to take down his disturbing Halloween display by Spooky Sea Horror. 10 corpses hung from the sprawling oak tree in Mr. Wood's yard. The burlap sacks enshrouding their faces fluttered like sails in gusting wind. Yesterday, only 8 corpses had swung from that ancient tree. He had added 2 more props to his display, and it spoke to his deteriorating mind. Although Mr. Wood had been my neighbor for 10 years, his life remained a mystery. Never speaking, never smiling, he floated through life like a derelict ship lost at sea. If he had any family, they severed ties with him long ago. Renowned for his reclusiveness, he only exited his dilapidated house to retrieve his mail or buy groceries. So when I saw Mr. Wood hanging the 11th corpse from his overcrowded tree this morning, I exited my house and approached him. Somebody needed to confront him, despite his peculiarities. "Morning, Mr. Wood," I said, pausing on the sidewalk beside his ladder. "Quite the Halloween display you've assembled." Mr. Wood ignored me and continued to wrestle with the knot in his hands. The corpse laid propped against the tree beneath the ladder, burlap sack already fastened around its head. "Are you sure that ladder's safe?" I said. "It's looking a little wobbly." "It's fine," he said, avoiding eye contact. "Thank you." He descended the ladder on trembling legs and threw the corpse over his shoulder. Then, breathing heavily, he struggled back up the ladder and wrapped the noose around the corpse's neck. When he finished tightening the knot, he looked toward the horizon. Despair consumed his eyes as he regarded the rising sun. "I planned on doing this alone," he said, "but I suppose having someone to bear witness doesn't make a difference. Heck, maybe it's for the best." He released the corpse and sent it plummeting to the earth. Fear enveloped me as the sound of crunching bones filled the air. That the prop's realism extended to the interior spoke to the seriousness of Mr. Wood's display. Even the fake blood that poured from its mouth seemed real. The overwhelming scent of copper flooded the yard as the syrupy mixture radiated across the burlap's rugged surface. "Don't try to revive me," said Mr. Wood, standing up straighter on the ladder. There's no returning from where I'm going. The bargain has already been struck. Before I had a chance to respond, he dove from the ladder and struck the ground head first. His neck snapped from the impact's force. A man's distant scream erupted from behind me. I whirled around to see Michael Garcia, the widower who lived across the street walking his dog. Although six houses separated us, he must have witnessed Mr. Wood's deadly plunge. The sound of tearing rope filled the air. I turned toward the tree. When I saw the 11 corpses standing on the lawn, dread filled my veins. Their burlap sacks inflated like plastic bags as they inhaled raspy breaths. How they had severed the nooses around their necks, I didn't know. All I knew was that they weren't props. They approached Mr. Wood's corpse in procession-like line and took turns placing their hands on his forehead as if they were paying homage to this esoteric man. When they finished, they disappeared into the house. Michael screamed something in Spanish and collapsed to the ground. However, rather than cross the street to help him, I stepped over Mr. Wood's corpse and approached the still open front door. If you want to hear more, this is actually a series from this Redditor. Maybe you might want to check it out. Anyone seen The Man with the Plastic Smile? By Ryan Hates Milk. Everywhere I look, I see him. The man with the plastic smile. You must have seen him. He's everywhere. I don't know his name, but it feels like every advert I see lately, he's in it. I don't mean on TV, but the billboards, posters, merchandise. He's in different poses, wearing different clothes, but it's definitely him. White guy, late 30s. Oh, I suppose he's good looking, except his hair being so greasy. It's like he's drenched in oil or something. Then there's his smile, that too wide grin, flashing pristine, pure white teeth. It must be photoshopped, but his teeth somehow look too perfect. In his eyes, too, the smile is bad enough, but the eyes, it's like he knows something I don't. I suppose he does. After all, I have no idea who he is. The sheer volume of exposure he's getting is, I mean, he must be a big deal to someone. I try to keep up with all the latest fads and fashion trends, but all the other myriad of posters and advertising? I don't recognize him from anywhere that I can think of. He's not an actor, or a musician, or a model as far as I'm aware. All the attempts at Googling him has failed. I mean, what would I even search for? Advert guy? White male on every billboard? I keep meaning to take a photo of him, but it's like every time I see him, I get distracted by something else,
or I remembered and I need to do something, or there's someone somewhere I need to be. It probably doesn't help that I've got a lot on my mind at the moment. Money is tight, and I keep making foolish impulse purchases. I've been a bit of a shopaholic, but I used to spend within my means. Now I've maxed out a couple credit cards, and I keep buying new things. I'm gonna return the shoes and scarf I bought yesterday. But I can't exactly do that with a half-eaten chocolate now, can I? And I stupidly opened and synced my new Fitbit before I remembered I already have an Apple Watch that does practically the same thing. Fingers crossed that I can take that back too. The letters, though, my door keeps getting increasingly aggressive. Red font, underlined, words that say, FINAL WARNING, in all caps. So that probably explains why I'm a little scattered-brained at the minute. After all, I've got more serious things to worry about than some guy on a poster. But he's on every poster. It's like he's looking at me. Specifically, every time I see him, whenever I notice him, he's looking precisely in my direction. Or at least, whenever I've stood at the time. It must be coincidence, of course. My brain searching for patterns or something. I'm almost glad I never see him on TV. Seeing him move might be a little too much. Anyway, I just wanted to ask if anyone else had seen him. More out of curiosity than anything. I'll try to grab a photo later, but, you know, when I return my stuff. Please don't give me crap on the Fitbit. I know I'm an idiot. Somehow, despite spotting him multiple times today, I never managed to take a photo of the man with the plastic smile. A few people yesterday asked me for some more descriptions. It's hard to believe you wouldn't exactly know who I'm talking about if you'd see him. You know that primal response you get when you lock eyes with someone? Well, I get that feeling every time I see his picture. Mainly because it feels like we're making eye contact when I first glimpse him. Before my brain even realizes it's just a picture. His smile is pretty distinctive too. You know those dental adverts? Where the actor is smiling a little too forced, a little too long? Well, he makes those people look miserable. Like he's has too many teeth, all crammed in one mouth. But they're all perfectly neat and straight. It makes me want to sew his mouth shut. This would be been a lot easier if I just remembered to take the photo. I'm starting to get seriously worried about my memory, to be honest. I saw him in 4 shop windows on a huge billboard outside my favorite nightclub. On some randomer's t-shirt on the side of a phone box. And despite all that, despite him being at the absolute forefront of my mind, I somehow still forgot to take a photo of him. I only ever remember later when it's too late to double back. Luckily, I did manage to return the Fitbit, though. They only gave me store credit note, though, which doesn't really help my bleak financial situation much right now. There's a newer model that comes with Alexa and lets you pay for things, so that's cool. Maybe I should buy that and sell my Apple Watch. I'll have to think about it. At least that way I'd have some actual money in my pocket rather than a stupid credit note. There's a lot of things I could sell, really. Come to think of it, I mean, there's no way I'm making rent this month, so I'm gonna have to have a big clean out. Especially after I registered for Disney Plus yesterday. I know, another streaming service, but they've got so many great shows and they're competitively priced. I'll just get rid of Netflix or something. Anyway, back to the man. He was looking exceptionally happy with himself in latest posters. I'm almost baffled that they can roll them out so fast. Yesterday, the billboard I saw him on was advertising Coca-Cola, but today, the same billboard had him in front of a load of movie posters. Mulan, Frozen 2, and that new Black Widow film. Actually, this is getting me quite excited to start streaming some movies tonight. But the man is starting to creep me out a little. Well, a lot, to tell you the truth. When I saw him on somebody's t-shirt today, I managed to blurt out, "Who is that?" And amazingly, I remembered what they told me. But when I googled it, this Che Guevara fellow looked nothing like the man with the plastic smile. I must have heard the name wrong. Or I spelt it wrong for the start. It was similar pose though, so maybe he was just copying the style or something. I'm starting to think I'll never know who this man is. But, and this is going to sound a bit crazy, it feels like he's following me. The man with the plastic smile is in my house. Not physically, of course. I'm sure he'd never do that. The first time I saw him was on a jar of lasagna sauce. Before dropping it, at least. I guess his face is Del Mio now? Personally, I prefer the puppets. The puppet didn't make me shiver. Why does he look so happy? Why can't I look that happy? I don't think I've ever seen anyone look that happy. I've booked a doctor's appointment about my memory. You'd think that I'd remember buying things with his face on it, wouldn't you? Since I've basically become obsessed with this man. I'm hoping they can prescribe me some medication, preferably brands I've heard of, because I don't like those cheap knockoffs. My main bank account hit overdraft limit today. Apparently, I had a bit of a shopping frenzy. But some of those deals online are irresistible. I mean, I must admit, I'm regretting it now, though. I've purposely turned the boiler off to save spending money on heating. But then I stupidly went out and I bought a parka coat. I don't know what's wrong with me. Too impulsive, I suppose. Too easily distracted. Too forgettable. Hopefully things will be better once the doctor rings me. Although all these letters of empty bank accounts are making me feel horrible. I have only one card left that doesn't get declined, but I daren't check the balance to see how much I've left to spend on it. It feels like the walls are closing in sometimes, you know? I know none of you have seen the man with the plastic smile, but I've noticed he makes me feel better. Like everything's going to be okay, you know? I've taken to carrying the jar of sauce around with me. I know it sounds silly, but whenever things get too intense, I just take one look at the man with the plastic smile and things don't seem so bad. Smile and the world smiles with you, as they say. Maybe that's why he's so popular. I'm probably an idiot for not seeing it sooner. He still gives me goosebumps, but I would take goosebumps over crushing financial anxiety any day. I've decided he definitely is good looking. Even if I don't like his hairstyle, his skin is so smooth and his clothes are neatly pressed. Never a crease on him. His features are almost sculpted. And he always looks so attentive and engaged. So full of life. Believe it or not, I still haven't taken a photo. My phone is charging. I'll take one tonight, I swear. But I did manage to snag a poster of him. And I snuck it on my fridge. I must have bought the jar after that, I suppose. Oh, and a pack of laundry detergent, and the self-help book, and the shampoo. You'd think I'd remember buying one of them, wouldn't you? It shows how bad my memory has gotten, I suppose. Fingers crossed that the doctors can solve it. I feel like I'd buy anything to fix it at this point. Pay any price. For now, though, I'm going to check and see if there's anything I can do to sort out my dire cash flow situation. Thankfully, I've got the man at the side of the computer keeping me company. Funny how he's right here next to me, watching me from the label of the jar as I type. At the beginning of all this, I didn't quite know how I'd ever find out who he was. I suppose I still don't know. Do I? Somehow it seems less important now. Still, a promise is a promise. I'll send you a picture tomorrow. My memory must be even worse than I thought. Today I went shopping and apparently replaced every product in my house. Food, cleaning, entertainment, hygiene. The man with the plastic smile is on the packaging for all of them. What's weird is when I open the cupboard, each label is slightly different, even on the identical cans. No matter where they're positioned on the shelf, they're all just staring at me, making eye contact with me. It almost feels like I'm on a stage. Like every version of the man is waiting for me to do something. I suppose I bought all these things with the face to show a picture to you guys, but that does make me wonder why I need so many. I must have gotten carried away, like always. The doctor called earlier, but wouldn't prescribe me any medication I asked for. Not Regeneron, not Vidal, not Benadryl. I'd not even heard of the ones he'd mentioned. So I asked another doctor, and he should be ringing me back next week. The guy was probably a quack anyway. If the medicine was worth taking, I'd have no doubt I'd seen it on a poster, and if it was any good, the man with the plastic smile would surely be endorsing it, like he does everything else. Some good news, though. I managed to get a great deal on personal finance loans. Something about consolidating existing debt and lowering monthly payments and APRs. It all went a bit over my head, if I'm honest. But monthly payments are lower. Low, low, low. That's what they told me. I thought it was catchy. Oh, and I got the newest Fitbit Charge 4 Advance. Water resistance, longer battery life. Good news is, now I've got accounts sorted, so I can buy all those things I've been forcing myself to wait next month to buy. I can live my life how I want to with Payday Loans UK. I must have bought a jumper with the man on it. I must have. Changed my clothes, I suppose. He's on all of them. Riding on a horse on my Ralph Lauren. He's even on an old Starbucks employee t-shirt I kept from the university days. His face is covering the logo with his deep blue eyes and perfect smile. I don't remember replacing my clothes like this, but then I don't remember doing much of anything anymore these days. He's even on my Nike trainers. Just do it. The man's smile, it isn't so creepy now. Now that I've gotten used to it, he looks so happy. It makes me think that I could be happy now too. Now when I see him, I try to copy his smile. It hurts my cheeks, though. I can't seem to get it quite as wide as his, and my teeth aren't straight or as white. Or as many, but I heard your teeth can be whiter than white with a Dentaclean. In fact, it's almost soothing and reassuring to see him on adverts now. I know if he's endorsing a product, it's going to be high quality, great value. He's never steered me wrong before. He's reliable, affordable. Just drive a Hyundai today. The man with the plastic smile can make me happy. I can have a plastic smile too, for a price. I finally managed to take a photo of him, but it gets corrupted when I try to upload it. I tried on my Samsung. Maybe I need an iPhone. The new one. I've managed to print the picture just fine though. I printed 100 copies, just to be sure. My HP Inkjet 2720 wireless all-in-one printer has picked the perfect quality. So, it's like I'm right there with him. He's so handsome. The more I see him, the more I'm reminded how much he's done for me, how good he makes me feel, how much better life can be. I wish everyone could have the plastic smile. And since you all say you've never seen him, I've figured out a way to fix that. I'm going to hang his posters all over town. Once you've seen him, you'll realize how easy it all is. We can have anything we want right now. Soon we'll all be smiling. Soon we'll all be happy. Forever. Terms and conditions apply. Error code 54787. Agents dispatched.
Infestation by Alice Spider. Deep in the Rocky Mountains, spring had begun to melt the snow and overflowed the rivers near Florida and Montana. It was one of those towns out in the middle of the country named after a place it doesn't resemble at all. This year was especially watery and caused plenty of property damage, as well as the deaths of two hitchhikers. Every spring, the basement of the Danvers house would flood to the knees. And every spring, Simon Danvers would help his father pump the water back out through the window. Simon and his father no longer kept anything in the basement. But nonetheless, it still needed to be drained to preserve the structural integrity of the house. Usually the spring rains would bring silt, rocks, and other debris along with them. And Simon was always tasked with removing the waste. This year, Simon's mind had been heavily preoccupied with his internet girlfriend, Willow. Being from rural Montana, there weren't very many pretty girls around. They spoke over the phone every day, and Willow would send Simon pictures of herself gardening and watching TV in her varsity sweatshirt. With her dark hair tied into a bun. It had only been 3 months, but Simon had really fallen for Willow and began saving up to go visit her in Ohio. Simon hastily threw the pebbles and sticks in the muddy basement into the trash bin, eager to finish the job early. He almost didn't notice the loose stones in the corner of the basement. Simon cleaned the leaves from the dark, unfinished room every year, so it stood out to him slightly odd. Figuring the flood had dislodged it, he went to push it back into place with his boot. As he was doing so, a torrent of spiders flooded out from beneath the rock. Simon jumped back in disgust, deciding he would have to finish this particular issue tomorrow with a can of Raid. Simon rushed to his room and dusted off the leaf litter and cold willow. He waited as the phone rang, which was strange to him since Willow always picked up immediately. When her cheery voicemail message began to play, Simon was shocked, confused. He decided she must be in the shower or taking a nap, and that he would try again later that night. While in the shower, Simon noticed several more spiders in the bathroom. He squished them with the bottom of the shampoo bottle and noted that their windows might need some resealing. Still consumed with Willow's absence, Simon settled down to play video games with his cat, Nine. The cat was actually only 5 years old, but Simon thought it would be a clever name to name him Nine, since cats have 9 lives, of course. That night, though, even the purring of his old friend couldn't quiet his thoughts. Willow's phone continued to ring through to voicemail, and Simon began to wonder if this was her way of dumping him. After a few more tries, Simon gave up calling and figured Willow would contact him when she was ready. That next morning, Simon's father was already up bright and early to mow the lawn. The younger Danvers wolfed down a bowl of cereal before storming down to the basement to start on their spider problem. Simon was in a terrible mood today. He sprayed the entire basement generously with the noxious fumes and then ran upstairs to escape them. Angrily, he texted Willow, "I don't know where you are, but it's not like you to not call me. If you're mad or something, please tell me." Willow didn't text back, though. And by the next day, Simon was convinced she was ghosting him. Simon's spraying spree with the can of Raid in the basement did not seem to solve the spider situation. Simon was noticing them everywhere, sometimes even crawling up the sides of his bed. Exterminators weren't exactly easy to find up in rural Montana, so the Danvers would have to wait another week before the issue could be solved. Simon flicked the spider off the leg of his jeans. Frustration was bubbling up inside him, and he missed Willow. The hatred of spiders. Simon decided to take a walk and escape his infested home for at least a moment. The late spring sun was shining into the forest floor, and a dizzying array of speckles. Sometimes Simon hated living here, but sometimes he loved it. The soft undergrowth muffled his steps as he walked deeper into the woods behind his home. Thoughts of Willow had almost freed him from his mind after hours hike, until he saw something that shouldn't have been there. Hanging from a dense shrub, faded, covered in dirt, was Willow's varsity sweatshirt. It was unmistakable, even in its disheveled state. It had red sleeves and the number 17 on the back. There was no school logo since she'd bought it at the mall. Simon froze. Something was very, very wrong. A chill went down his spine as he stepped closer to the shrub. What he saw next was an image that seared itself into the back of Simon's eyes. Peeking out from the dense undergrowth behind the shrub was a human hand. It was a gray-green color from rot, and the flies buzzed around the exposed tendons in the wrist. Simon turned on his heels and immediately regretting leaving his phone at home. But just as he did, he caught sight of a muffled tuft of hair. It was nearly 40 feet from the hand. Even without her neatly tied bun, there was no mistaking this corpse for anyone but Willow. Simon cried as he ran. The coroner and cops showed up hours later. This was rural Montana, after all, and it took them a while to get the forensic team out to the forest. Simon was inconsolable. His girlfriend had been clearly murdered in the woods behind his house, hundreds of miles from where she lived. When he explained to the investigators, they looked incredibly confused. Willow? This girl's name was Riley Hudson. She'd been missing for over a year. What the F? Stuttered Simon. No, that's not possible. This is the same girl. She sent me photos. Talked over the phone just a week ago. You must have something wrong. Simon cradled his head in his hands and wept. Nothing about anything made sense anymore. Willow was dead, but who was Willow? Listen, son. We're gonna need you to turn over your phone and as evidence you may have regarding this serious crime. Although you seem innocent enough to me, you should know we consider you a suspect at this point in time. The policewoman's demeanor had changed from empathetic to stern. Simon turned over his phone, his laptop, the pictures he'd printed out. Now he didn't even have something to remember her by. Simon lay under the covers of his bed, not even bothering to brush away the spiders that had congregated on the top of the duvet. He had cried so much that no more tears remained, only the salty trails they left behind. His only thoughts were of Willow, O'Reilly, the girl he had fallen so much for, and then found dismembered. Simon snapped. He swept the spiders off and stomped them on the floor until they were nothing but a stain on his carpet. He grabbed the newspaper, rolled it, and began swatting at every spider he could find into oblivion. Slowly he worked his way through the house, killing each one individually, until he realized that his efforts would be fruitless until he followed them to their source. With the giant sprayer of insecticide his father had purchased, Simon ventured into the basement. As he descended the steps, it almost felt like the spiders were watching him. Ignoring the masses of arachnids on the ceiling, Simon headed straight for the side of the basement with the broken stone, where he had first discovered the infestation. He kicked aside the crumbling rocks and was about to let it rip with spider killer when he noticed a small void inside the basement. The spiders had congregated around it, but seemed to be avoiding the inside. Simon wrapped his hands around one of the adjacent stones, wrenched it free. Several other stones caved, and against every ounce of common sense that he had, Simon crawled inside. Ahead of him was a complete and total darkness. He was attempting to stand in the chamber when a blue light flashed from the opposite corner. Illuminated in the glow was yet another human corpse. This time, clearly that of an adult man. Photos of Simon's house, yard, and his own sleeping face were plastered behind the rotting body. Simon screamed as he frantically squeezed himself out of the hole. He could swear that he felt fingers attempting to lightly grasp the sole of his sneaker. He ran from the basement and slammed the door. Once again, Simon found himself waiting on the porch with his father for emergency services to arrive. They sat together on the bench outside. The older Danvers, with his arm around the younger, who was clutching his cat. Neither of them said anything. Simon spotted a little spider clinging to the blanket he was wrapped in. Gently, he placed it onto the grass in the yard. Inside, the police found the remains of a man who was still yet to be identified. Nothing about his personal identity was found on his body, and the dental records failed to match any national database. It was determined from the makeshift bed and bottles of urine that the unknown man had been living in the Danvers basement for at least 3 months. Inside the hovel was countless photos of Simon, Riley, and 9 other missing teenagers. They also found with him the source of the blue light in the darkness. Riley Hudson's cell phone. To this day, Simon has never killed another spider because they determined that the man's cause of death to be from thousands of tiny two fanged bites that were all over his body. Reader, beware. There are far worse things in this world than spiders. Well, I'm gonna wrap it up here. I had a little bit longer stories than usual, but I hope you enjoyed them. If you like this kind of content, let me know, and if you'd like to hear more of this kind of content, let me know as well on my Facebook page. Until next time, beware those creepy crawly things, or they might just save your life.